Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, I am speaking to Robin Vindevogel. He is the CEO and co-founder at Butch Tailors International, and born as a sub-label to the Belgian menswear brand Butch Tailors, established in 1956. They offer a complete out-of-the-box made-to-measure solution for ambitious made-to-measure specialists looking to join a fast-paced global community of tailors. Joining the community provides you with access to fully established global made-to-measure showrooms, and it's equipped with a full collection of try-on garments and fabric books from the finest mills on the market. This was a really fascinating discussion. I was so pleased to get Robin on the phone. And you can find out more about Butch Tailors International at the website wearebti.com. But here in his own words to talk about the brand is CEO and co-founder Robin Vindevogel.
Basically, Butch Tailors was established in 1956 back in Belgium. It's quite a preeminent tailoring brand. My father had the possibilities to acquire it in the 90s and then basically built it back up to former glory. He built it back to about 14 retail stores. But basically, about 10 years ago, he had an opportunity. One of his clients walked into the shop at the seaside and wanted to see who was running the business now, because he had bought a suit in the 60s or the 70s. They started talking, and it turned out the person that walked in was an Indian diamond trader. And needed suits made for the wedding of his son. And as you know, Indian weddings can sometimes be big affairs and long affairs. And before he knew it, I still remember the day, but before he knew it, he was 7 days later or 10 days later, he was on a plane to Mumbai to dress the whole wedding. And that's basically how the Butch Tailors 2.0 started, and the way I see it, at least, that's how he started doing more and more made to measure. And over those 10 years, he basically now sort of found himself in a position where he does made to measure and the private tailoring all over the world for, let's say, the 1%. So a lot of heads of state, very good businessmen. The concept is called the Flying Tailor. And I used to work for Gibbs & Hawkes. So basically I came to London 10 years ago, worked for Gibbs & Hawkes for about 4 or 5 years. And then I saw a TV show they did on the Belgium TV called Top Service. And one of the episodes featured my father. And I sort of then it clicked in my head, like how made to measure works and the way he works and everything. So I quit my job at Gibbs & Hawkes and I started working for him. Did that for 2-3 years, private tailoring, a lot of travel. And then the pandemic hit. And as you can maybe know, younger people weren't super interested in buying suits anymore. So I took the decision, or made the decision together with my parents, to go in more of an operational role within the company, which I then did. And then I started working with this new supplier that then sort of started working. So I started working with this new supplier, and then I sort of realized or an idea started forming in my mind. And together with my co-founder, James Monroe, who used to be a private client of mine, I sort of spitballed ideas, and that's how BTI came to pass. So basically, what we are is we run a fashion tech platform for new businesses, mostly focused on tailoring at the moment, that uses my family's supply chain or the buying power that we have to open that to new market entrants. So people that usually that want to start as a tailor, private tailor, but don't have the possibilities, or they do have the possibilities, but they need to do everything themselves, as in they need to source the product, they need to do their own marketing, they need to get a showroom so on and so forth. We basically, with BTI, offer a full package. Right. So we do production on one side, we do creative advisory on another side, and then business advisory. So basically, we're a one-stop shop to set up your brand.
Interesting.
As I said, mostly on tailoring, but the idea is to expand into just any clothing.
Could you perhaps walk us through maybe a case study? What happens with the process? What are the first steps from meeting with the client to delivering on the product?
There's a couple of different ways, because we started about a year and a half ago. And so at the moment, we're working with established businesses that have retail shops or premises. And then that's done mostly production. But let's do the case study for someone who is, like I said, completely new in the market and needs all of our assets or every aspect of our business. So basically, they come into our showroom on the 218 Strand, which we've built, where we have a full house collection. We store about 3,000 fabrics at our factory. That then speaks to our order management software platform that offers several categories from suiting to shirts to casual wear like bombers or safari jackets, outerwear, so on. They come to our showroom. We have a meeting with them. We show them the quality of what we do, the fabrics that we offer. They show the showroom, basically show them the world of BTI, mm-hmm. let's say. And then they usually go away. We send them the price list and the steps to get onboarded if that's what they would want. And then they usually come back to us and then with questions. We strongly believe that every single customer is a bit different. So it really is, you work with myself, James, as I said, who's mostly operational, and then Adam Clacker, who's our commercial director, who I used to work with at Gibbs & Hawkes, who is also very technical. So dependent on where you need most support with, then you can we start talking and we try and find a bespoke solution for that company. So an example of that, for example, is we have one guy who is a bespoke tailor, a very good bespoke tailor, but he didn't have access to a good made-to-measure supply line. So we basically helped him. So he's less in need of the technical side, but he's then more in need of the business help. So he needs someone to help him with to do his merch plan or to figure out what his margins should be, how he should position himself in the market and marketing and so forth.
Right.
So the baseline is always production. That's what we're very good at. Like I said, 30 years of experience through my father's business. We have access to state-of-the-art production. And then we built a software platform that speaks to our production, where you can start to finish completely follow the whole supply line, basically, and completely design your garment.
I saw on the website that you have Rio Ferdinand as one of your clients.
That's actually a pretty funny story. One of my father's very good clients, is a businessman who lives in Paris and was with his family at the restaurant. And his son is a big fan of Rio Ferdinand, and Rio Ferdinand was also having dinner there with his family. And he basically sent Rio Ferdinand a bottle of champagne to be like, let's sit together, have a conversation. And that customer said, like, I want to introduce you to my tailors, which we then did. We went to his house. We made a full collection for him for mostly the Euros, last mm-hmm. Euros. So we did a special type of shirt with like a stand collar, which he then also wore on every single game that he presented. Mm. And then from there, it grew into a relationship that is today. So we helped build his own brand or his own line, Butch Taylor's with RF, which were the shirts that he was wearing that we made to measure for him, that we then made in a ready-to-wear option and that he promoted. That was a limited run that sold out in like a week. And then through him, I also now dress himself, but also everyone, all the pundits at BT Sports. So all the Champions League matches and Europa League matches.
So like Joe Cole, Michael Owen, I'm just exactly. going.
Ron Hargreaves.
Yeah.
Jimin Genius.
That's so cool. But is exactly. there a guidelines around what they can do and what they can promote? Because they're basically doing a job for BT. They can't, I imagine, start then advertising their own clothing line.
No, 100%. So the clothing line we did for him was before, was basically we did the clothing line for him. And because it was such a success and we've been, by that point, we had a good rapport and a good relationship. He then introduced me to a company called the Makeup Girls. They do basically all the wardrobe for BT Sports. So I worked together with the company, the Makeup Girls, in order to, within the guidelines that are set by BP, like you rightly said. But the guys, especially a guy like Rio, who is known for his fashion, has quite a bit of say in what he wants. So sometimes he sits in on the appointment and he's like, oh, I would want to wear a double-breasted rather than a single-breasted. I like black. I like this, that. And then so they give him quite a bit of say in what he wants to wear, as long as it's within the lines.
Right.
I made him like a double-breasted suit that he wore in the Champions League final. And a great compliment from him was the best double-breasted he's ever worn because – I think a lot of tailors try to approach him to do it. So he's changed a lot of tailor, or he's changed his tailor quite a bit of time, I think. And we're very lucky that we found a good way of working together. And yeah, it's very, very exciting. It was a good, when we first launched BTI, it's great to have someone with that, so who's that famous?
Yeah, that caliber, yeah.
To be behind the brand and sort of puts his name behind it a little bit. It's great for us and it really gave us a great boost at the start.
If someone's coming to you, maybe they've got an idea that they're looking to set up their own ready-to-wear business. Do you do minimum runs? Is there something that you do for just kind of, you know, low startups?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So it depends. On the tailoring side, no. So because we do everything on our made-to-measure platform, so everything is one by one. We recently launched... we really have been pushing the made-to-order route for a couple of these brands, which is, for example, I'm working with another celebrity who is Lee Juggernaut. I think he's on Channel 4. Great guy. And he has a brand of the same name, of which he does cam collar shirts and trousers and stuff like that. And he's going through a bit of a relaunch. And basically with him, in order for him to not having to buy in loads of stock, we proposed to him to do a couple of looks made to order, which he then makes. The only cost for him is to make the sample and take the pictures and then does the promotion over his social medias and then say cap it, do it over 15 days, 30 days. And then after those 30 days, you just place all the orders all in one go. And, that's quite a good way of working. But yeah, sorry. On the tailoring side, not really. It's one by one. That's really what we want to push because the reason why people come to us usually is because it's so hard to find a good production, really, because if you don't really have any past experience or you don't even have any connections, every supplier will most likely give you very high minimums and not the best price. So again, we use our buying power to give them the best service possible. So tailoring one by one. We also do custom apparel. So someone who, let's say, wants to start a t-shirt brand or a hoodie brand or something like that. I then go sourcing where I can, and that's usually but smaller minimums, let's say, just because some contacts we have already within the market.
I'm just kind of locked into the idea of if people have their own idea of getting like a brand off the ground, basically have an open canvas to people's ideas and, you know, and launch their dream. Because everybody, I feel like at some point or stage, well, let's just say everybody's had an idea for a t-shirt company. Now, I know you do like more tailoring than that, but then as people get older, they graduate their ideas away from t-shirts and think, well, I can certainly do ready-to-wear launches. And then you have the likes of, models like David Gandy, for example, that wants to launch his own label. There's just so many people that kind of hit that certain level of celebrity. And then they just go, right, now the next move is to launch my own label, my own clothing label. And this is where you guys come in.
It's a great market to be in, I think, because not a lot of people are doing what we are doing to give that full package. Yeah. Because sometimes for these celebrities, maybe they have the cash or they have the capital to actually go for it. But they need to go to one company to do production. Then they need to go to another company to actually do the marketing. Then they need to do another company to build their website. And the way we've done it is we've surrounded ourselves with industry professionals that work on a freelance basis, on let's say a project basis. Again, going back to the bespoke approach for every single client, because it's every client is a bit different. But we've vetted these people around our business, and we're very happy to then also make that introduction. And it all helps with for our end client to not having to spend a lot of money to get to that same point. We basically do the hard work or the grunt work for them and then come up with the solution. And I think so far we're doing that with about 35 clients, ranging from production for tailoring firms, but also retail projects that we're relaunching, a couple of quite big ones that I can't say at the moment, but that over the next 3 to 6 months are going to be really doing really, really well. And yeah, so people come to us for the full experience, basically. We also have that showroom that people can use as their own. It's completely white labeled, so they have for free a room they can
use. Like for photograph, photo shoot, perhaps.
Yeah, we have a photo studio in the showroom. We have custom built rails on the wall where you can put product out. We have samples in there that they can use as their own. For tailors, mostly, let's say, but also when, say, celebrities come in, it's very good for us to then show them, like, this is what a camcolor shirt looks like, and I have X fabrics that you can then put towards that and stuff like that. So, yeah, it really is like a creative space.
Yeah.
Showroom / creative space / photo studio / whatever you want it to be, really. So we try to be as all-encompassing as we can without losing sight of who we are or what we want to achieve, basically, which is the best possible service and having a lot of fun doing what we're doing.
I imagine it's also handy to have a line of sight as to how much everything's going to cost when you set up a business. So you might have an idea, like we say, to set up a clothing business. You'll go and get your ready-to-wear stuff, but you don't. But when you then start farming around and going, right, now I need my website, or now I need the videographer, now I need my PR agent, you kind of add on, bolt on all of these additional stuff, and it can probably just spiral out of control. You never really factored in how much it's going to cost straight from the start. I guess if we come through your front door, you go, well, if you want to get this brand off the ground, here's exactly how much it's going to cost for every avenue of your business. Now kind of take it or leave it, really.
That's what we try to do, being as transparent as possible and just being from the mindset. Maybe it's a Belgian thing, and James is Scottish, and we always joke is that we're quite prudent in the way we're not just saying, give us, you know, X amount and then you get your brand to off the ground. I really believe in like building a solid foundation and then going from there. And like I said, my title is CEO. So on LinkedIn, I get approached by, you don't know how many people approach me to do SEO and do this and do that. And if you have to try and find a way through that sea of just a lot of spam, and if you need to try everything out, it's going to cost you so much more money. Then you can come to us and be like, oh, we have, oh, you want to speak to, you need a social media person, speak to our head of marketing or head of social media. And he's going to say, this is a plan for X amount. This is a plan for that amount. And then it's up to the client to be like, okay, is that within what is my budget and stuff like that. And also we can fairly easily tell as a person what they're good at, and then we fill in whatever they're lacking, but not lacking. I think it's maybe for lack of a better word, it's not lacking. It's just what maybe some people are very creative, but aren't very good at doing accountancy and doing the marketing side. And so we try and fill in whatever they're lacking in their team, we try and become a part of their team in that way. So tailoring, especially private tailoring, is a very lonely job because you're on the road by yourself and you need to do everything yourself. And so we try to create a community so where they can come and when they have questions or they're not 100% sure about a measurement. Luckily, I was trained by my father, who's a very good tailor, and I've been in tailoring for like nine years now. So it's weird to say maybe from yourself, but I feel like technically I'm quite good. So our clients can be comfortable speaking to me when they have a technical question, that they actually have a reply rather than someone at the end of the line to just be like, I don't know, I'm just working here as an account manager or whatever. So we try to be very hands-on as a company.
Did your dad train you, or did you learn most at Gieves and Hawke?
Mostly my father, I would say. I was at Gieves, I did the wholesale. So I worked a lot with the big department stores like Harrods and Selfridges and Bird of Goodman in New York and stuff like that. So I've been around the tailoring, and obviously I saw a lot of made to measure here and there. But to me, it's all about finding your way to do it and then build on that. So like I said, I have the best mentor in my father, as he one of a kind. I've learned from him mostly.
And is he still making?
Yep. That's why he was in London. He was in London today. He's also the chairman of our company. So he came and had a look to the new showroom. He follows everything, not super close, which is, I think, he's quite hands off, which is nice for us. He sort of big picture and his wealth of experience is a great asset for us. He does a lot of tailoring. I think he does about 10,000 made-to-measure pieces on a yearly basis. Wow.
That's big projects.
So it's great.
Do you make clothes for yourself, Robin?
Yeah, always. Everything I wear is my own. I also, on our own platform, we run our own tailoring business called 1956, which is a nod to Butch Taylor's established 1956, is where I see private clients, mostly friends, family, and people that get recommended. We don't do any marketing around it. It's just a good way for a bit of cash flow in the company, and also for me to test the platform and to really have my ear to the ground and know what I want and the way I want it to look and to give better support to my clients, really. But yeah, I make everything I wear.
Fascinating. Myself. And do you make trousers and shirts as well as jackets?
Everything, yeah. So our categories are suits, so jacket separates, so jackets, trousers, waistcoats, shirts, overshirts, blousons. This is like a bomber jacket or Harrington or jacket, overcoats, all styles of overcoats, camcollar shirts, shorts, women's wear. Shoes, yeah, you name it. Basically, anything you need clothing wise, the ideas we can make for you.
But you, as a personal tailor, can you make trousers and shirts and suits?
As a bespoke, no. So I do made to measure. I have this morning, actually, I'm getting married in a month's time. And one of our clients who is a bespoke tailor who used to work for Gieves & Hawke as well, who won the Golden Shear, he's doing my wedding trousers. So it was my first time to actually do full bespoke. I'm super interested. I think it's amazing, but it's it's very, very time consuming. And I think you need to be super, super passionate to be able to, yeah, to do that. And some people are, and we help them with the made to measure. That is the beauty of the, and then it's a good way of going back and forth, right? So I have a great bespoke tailor and I don't need to do it.
So. Yeah. Well, it's a commitment. I know that because I tried to be a tailor at one point and quickly realized how hard it was. And that dream ended pretty quickly, I'd say, after about 6 months. But
exactly.
I think people have a great idea that they can make their own clothes, but if they want to become good at it, then it's, you know, it's years. It's absolute years of dedication to get, even just to become a jacket maker, let alone make shirts and make trousers, which is each kind of garment is an art in itself, isn't it? So
it's crazy. But yeah, like I said, I have a great relationship with Ricky Brockman from Solomon Brown, who's amazing. So my thing is, like, I strongly believe, and that's the way I run our business, is I let people do what they're good at. So, and I think if everyone just does what they're good at, I think it's everyone's better for it, rather than trying to do everything. Really.
That's a good note to go out on. Robin, thanks so much for your time today. And if people want to drop by and get hold of you, wearebti.com. Is that probably the best place to... The one-stop shop.
That's the best place.
And we'll leave links all over on the show notes so people can find out more there as well. Robin, hang on the line. I'm going to end the call, but I'm going to tell you a really good Rio Ferdinand story that I think you'll enjoy. But in the meantime, I'll just sign off here. And until next time, thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you'd like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.